You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
If it can happen to any of these people, it can happen to any of us. Can't it?
And that is exactly the point. It's like, we have due process for a reason. We have the Sixth Amendment, you know, the right to a jury trial, the Fifth Amendment right to due process in criminal proceedings, because you might be the one in the dock someday.
Hello, everyone. This is George Conway Explains It All to Sarah Longwell. He's George Conway. I'm not Sarah Longwell. I'm her best friend, JVL from The Bulwark. George,
you still do not look like Sarah Longwell.
I know.
Just want to say that.
Things are moving pretty quick. We've had a lot going on this week. I have so many questions that I want to ask you about the law. But before we get to that, we had a new Trump executive order targeting Wilmer Hale. Is that do I have that right?
Wilmer Hale, a great law firm.
They seem to have responded in the way that one would hope a major law firm committed to the rule of law would respond. Yes?
Yep. Yes, they hired the best possible lawyer, not at their firm. I mean, they have a great Supreme Court and appellate practice because this is really fundamentally issue. These are issues of law. But they hired somebody. You could not pick a better lawyer to litigate this case. They picked Paul Clement, a former Solicitor General of the United States under the Bush administration. He was the successor to Ted Olson. He is a conservative, a member of the Federalist Society, and he believes strongly in the rule of law. And he was in the news most recently because he was selected by the judge handling the Mayor Adams case to be an amicus curiae appointed to the court to argue against the Justice Department on the question of whether and under what circumstances the case against Judge Adams should be dismissed. He is a lawyer's lawyer. He is a brilliant advocate, both orally, and he is a brilliant writer, a brilliant thinker. I mean, if I had things on the line before the Supreme Court of the United States, this Supreme Court, he's the guy I would hire. They trust him. They so deeply respect him. He's argued, I can't imagine how many cases. And the fact that he took this on, you know, speaks incredibly well of him. He is respected by liberals and conservatives. It's just tremendous that he's involved in this case. I can't give more praise than I could give Paul Clement. And I greatly admire him taking this on. And William made a great choice. And not only that, Jenner and Block, the Chicago law firm, the national law firm based in Chicago, that was also subjected rather arbitrarily to one of the president's executive orders, also sued today. And they were represented by another large and fine national law firm, Cooley LLP. And they deserve kudos. Both of those firms deserve kudos for standing up And meanwhile, another New York law firm, New York-based law firm, caved today. Skadden Arps, a disgrace. It would have been disheartening to have seen that happen today without the other two events happening. So you basically have three law firms fighting, two law firms capitulating cravenly. So I wish it were 5-0, but we're doing the best we can here.
Yeah, well, say what you will about Paul Clement. Fella doesn't seem to have much of a future in the Republican Party, does he? He's going to become suddenly, all of a sudden.
He doesn't.
This guy's a closet cuck commie,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, no, he'll take some criticism, but I don't think it matters because his credentials and the respect that he has in the judiciary and the bar, no MAGA person is going to be able to touch that, let alone the infantile Pam Bondi or the new acting United States attorney in the District of New Jersey, the great Alina Haba, the parking lot lawyer who had no idea how to introduce a document into evidence in the Southern District of New York in the E. Jean Carroll case. Okay.
Legal minds of our time.
I'll take Paul Clement over them any fucking day of the week.
All right. So, I want to move on. I've been obsessed with the case of, I'm probably going to butcher her name. I'm sorry, but I've only read it 5 million times. I haven't heard anybody say it. Rumeysa Ozturk, who is a grad student, Turkish grad student at Tufts, who was taken off the street.
Abducted is what I would say.
Abducted off the street by federal agents who were ununiformed and masked.
Masked.
And they did not.
Can you imagine that? Think about that. Why would a federal agent be masked? Right?
I mean, if you're worried about people saying things about you because of something you're doing in the course of your job, then you should probably find another job.
Absolutely. That's absolutely right. I mean, they're afraid that these people are the government. Then these people know they are doing things that they've never done before and that are wrong.
Yeah.
If they were doing something they truly believed was in the best interest of the United States, they'd be proud.
Why wouldn't they
be showing their faces? Yep. And this is just an absolute disgrace.
I have so many questions for you.
I may not be able to answer them all. I have to confess.
That's okay.
I'm not an immigration lawyer. I'm not even a criminal lawyer. I know a lot of stuff about a lot of things, but there are limits to my knowledge. But I'm trying.
Understood.
And I'm learning. I'm being forced to learn new areas of the law and new things because thanks to Donald Trump.
Yeah. So we're going to start at the most superficial and procedural and sort of then delve into the more fundamental and constitutional. First of all, there was a question of why the law enforcement personnel here were undercover. They were all wearing plain clothes. They had been camped out for, according to reports, at least a couple hours. And they show up, and in the instant when they surround her, according to the video, I could not see any badges displayed. They were covering their faces. And eventually, two of them pull badges out from underneath their shirts that dangle around a little chain around their neck. Under what circumstances are law enforcement personnel allowed to obscure their faces? Because this creates a real problem, right? One of the things law enforcement are required to do is identify themselves. And the reason is because you don't want to set up a confusing situation where a citizen who might be armed, depending on the state you're in, right? They might have concealed carry permit, where they think they are being accosted by somebody with ill intent who is not law enforcement.
Right.
And so this is why typically, right, your badge has to be showing. You have to identify yourself both verbally and visually as a law enforcement officer. And these things can get a little hairy when you have to like do a no-knock warrant, right? Or you're breaking.
Right.
But when you're rolling up on somebody for a grad student for an immigration violation on the street, it seems like your concerns should be sort of at a lower level. It should be a much more ordinary interaction between the police and the
public. And you know, we've all not just watched TV, I actually saw it next door to my house one day when the FBI executed a search warrant. My home in Washington is next door to Oleg, a home that was owned by Oleg Deripaska. And the FBI came in there one day. I don't know that anybody was actually home, but they all wore at least FBI jackets.
Right.
Right. And you're absolutely right. The purpose of that is so that people know, oh, these are legit people. And, you know, and it's for the FBI agents. It's for everyone's safety, because it's like, yes, if you think that you're being mugged and you have some kind, you're getting, you know, what happens if the woman pepper maces the guy? That's, you know, people can get hurt or if a person is armed. And it's absolutely. Now, is there a legal restriction on agents having to wear identifying clothing? I doubt that, because, you know, there are going to be circumstances where agents do have to work undercover and then make arrests suddenly, sure, that they may not have planned to make. And so I don't know that there is a regime of law. You'd have to ask a real criminal type lawyer, whether they be a former prosecutor or what the rules are. I don't know that they're enforceable by a defendant. But that said, this was not done for any practical purpose other than to intimidate and to create a show of to create an atmosphere of fear. You're absolutely right. This woman, you know, she has no criminal record. There's no reason to believe that she is engaging in violence or criminal activity or, you know, is a flight risk of any sort. She's a student. Okay. She is from Turkey. And if there's any place she wants to flee to, it would be Turkey, but that's where the government wants to send her. Okay. So what's the sense in that? And the sense is really, it's just, we want to behave like thugs so that everyone's scared. And then they're wearing masks. I guess, you know, wearing masks is sort of intimidating too, but they're also wearing masks because they don't actually want to be identified because they may have shame about what they're doing. If they
which is a problem,
have some shame about what they're doing.
If government employees are afraid of being identified because of the actions they're taking out,
it could
then
be
that, but that's a warning light.
That right? is that. Well, it should be a warning light. You should
for,
be loud
for all society,
right? And these aren't, you know, I mean, you know, these aren't like CIA operatives, right? Whose identity is just absolutely necessary to be protected. I mean, let's leave apart Jason Bourne, who always seems
sure
not have any disguises, but. And I don't know who is taking that video they had of the street. And I get, was it Medford? I don't know. Or no, it was Somerville, Massachusetts.
Somerville. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know who took that, whether it was just a regular street cam or whether it was the USCIS or whoever. So I don't know, but I have a feeling that they're doing these things in this manner because they want to make a show of it.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago, yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget, so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus terms and conditions apply.
And it was the same thing with the deportations, though, the renditions of these Venezuelan individuals who had tattoos, who may or may not be members of that gang that the president is having a problem with. They made sure that the videos were posted on the White House website, and then the El Salvadorans were happy to show their depraved treatment of these individuals to the world. This is part of a big show, and it's designed to intimidate. And in the case of this Turkish student at Tufts, it just appears designed to punish people for the exercise of their First Amendment rights. We may or may not disagree with their position on Palestine and Israel, but what this woman had done, and I just read the complaint a few minutes ago, and I went back to the op-ed piece that's referred to in the complaint, the sole basis for them attempting, for the reason that they want to revoke this woman's visa as a student, is that she wrote an op-ed along with several other people in the Tufts school newspaper. It didn't support Hamas. It was just, we want the administration to take a stronger position against what they said were Israeli war crimes. And the fact of the matter is, much as I hate to say it, there is a very strong argument that, and I don't want to lose some people on this, but there's a strong argument that many Jews agree with, that the Israeli government did not fully comply with international law by engaging in some of the bombing tactics that it had engaged in. So, you go to a school, and one of the things you do at school is, you're entering an American university is an area where you should be able to have free discussions about things, all right? And that's part of being a student. And the notion that the government is punishing these people for exercising free speech rights when there's no evidence that they're engaging in a violation of anybody's civil rights by engaging in anti-Semitic harassment, or by providing or engaging in criminal activity by providing actual aid and aid and assistance to a terrorist organization such as Hamas. I mean, this is just pure attacks on free speech, and they're using this notion that these people are engaging in anti-Semitic activities to basically just throw out foreign students and make a show of it. And it's outrageous. It's actually illegal under the First Amendment, because everybody who is within the United States, whether they be a United States citizen or a foreign citizen, these Bill of Rights protections apply to all persons. They have First Amendment rights. And this is not the country. The fact of the matter is, there have been the immigration laws of reading some of these opinions about them, and they were designed. They were designed in part to balance free speech rights and the interest of the United States to protect itself from dangerous foreign people. And the level of danger that's required under the immigration laws for the Secretary of State to revoke a student visa is high. And it's especially with the other case, there's that other case, or one of two cases here in New York City, where I am today, involving, I guess, what was it, a Columbia student, Muslim.
Ahmed Khalil. Right.
Yes. Yep. He was a lawful permanent resident. He had a green card. And the Secretary of State cannot unilaterally take away a green card. You have to be brought before an immigration judge.
When you say they can't, what do you mean? What do you mean by that? Because the Secretary of State can't.
Look, and a student visa can be revoked with less process than a green card. I can't give you the details of that. But a green card, that gives you lawful permanent residence in the United States. It is a privilege, but it is a privilege that requires, under the law, clear and convincing evidence of certain things to be taken away. One is if you commit a crime. One is if you present a significant danger to the foreign policy of the United States, which these people do not. They're just run-of-the-mill students.
But how does that get adjudicated?
If you are engaged in creating
how does that get adjudicated? Because in the case of Khalil, Rubio has asserted, I don't know if he's asserted this in a legal document, but his public statements on this were that Khalil represented a danger to the foreign interests of the United States, or if he had the exact phrasing of his word. It's like, who determines that?
Well, there are two levels.
And who adjudicates that?
There are two levels of law that apply to the process. One is the Due Process Clause of the Constitution of the United States, which says that you have to get some, you know, there has to be some fair adjudication where both sides get to present evidence. The question is, does that have to be a federal court or not? And then there is the Immigration and Nationalization Act, which I understand requires, in this circumstance, the process to be given that is due under the Constitution. It should be given by a immigration judge, an Article I judge ultimately reports to the Department of Homeland Security, and that determination has to be made on the basis of substantial evidence and cannot be arbitrary and capricious, and is subject to review by a United States Court of Appeals. Okay, so he gets that, he will get that in this case. But the way they are exercising, the normal way to do this, first of all, there's no basis. They don't even come close to meet the standards. But let's set that aside. I mean, based upon what we've seen in these cases. But to arrest somebody and hold them in detention pending the disposition of these, you know, that's just for intimidation purposes. There's no evidence that they actually need to do that to give this person the process that they're due. So there's just a lot of things wrong with what's happening in these cases. And it's just a terrible affront to the First Amendment. It's a terrible affront to due process. And it's an embarrassment before the world. And the use of anti-Semitism as an excuse to be able to do this. If you're going after people who have provided actual aid to Hamas, that's one thing. But these students, you may not like them. Yeah, you may not agree with them. But, you know, this is just not right.
Did you hear a lot of sympathy and anger and outrage from the Jewish community over the Camp Auschwitz guy getting pardoned by Donald Trump? Because I missed that. I missed in our big like worries about how the terrors of anti-Semitism, you got to bend some laws, you're going to stamp out anti-Semitism. I don't think I heard any of these people say, wait a minute, they freed the Camp Auschwitz guy. They pardoned him. Trump did.
I'm not going to fault anybody for not screaming about that particular incident or anything else, because I'm just thinking of like, I cannot keep track of the outrages and the absurdities that are happening each and every day.
So listen, I want to dig deeper into the First Amendment stuff, but I want to ask you something first that I believe maybe this is a little conspiracy theory-ish. So here's what has happened. Marco Rubio was asked why this woman was arrested, and he said, well, I revoked her visa, and upon the revocation of her visa, she was then in this country illegally. Does the law work like that, where you can just change the law on somebody without telling them so that they have become a criminal?
Well, you can't. He can't change the law.
Right. Well, this is right. So this is, you know, he didn't actually change the law.
He's not changing the law.
But can you revoke somebody without informing them of their status so that they then have to be arrested? Well, because it seems like, how does that work?
The ordinary course would be to give them notice, right? And notice of like, we have made this determination or we plan to assert this before an immigration judge. I don't know. I mean, this goes to the Administrative Procedure Act applies to all agency actions that cause.
This is what I'm asking. You see what I'm asking, right? Like the weirdness.
No, I do. And I'm trying to figure out the right way to frame it because, you know, the law, sometimes it's the framing of the issue that really makes the difference right here. One of the things that would make this, again, one of the big words when you take administrative procedure in law school that you learn and if you practice it is arbitrary and capricious. Arbitrary and capricious. The government can't act arbitrarily and capriciously. And I think the point that you are making fits right into that stricture because they haven't enforced the rules this way. Okay, first of all, it just as a substantive matter, the foreign policy, there's that foreign provision that says that you can revoke the visa, revoke even the green card of somebody who presents a danger to the foreign policy of the United States. First of all, they don't even come close by any reasonable standard. No. But what you're saying is fits that in another, it reinforces that in another way because they've never interpreted this way before. An op-ed in a student newspaper that's frankly pretty plain vanilla. The only other basis I think that potentially applies is that if you stop being a student, right? Like, let's say you come to the United States, your name is Delon Pusk or Zelon Lusk or something that rhymes with that, and you come to the United States on a student visa, but you stop being a student and you start trying to run a business. And this, you know, say you're from South Africa and you have a student visa and you stop. They can deport you because you are not in the United States complying with the condition of your visa, which is that you be a student. So this right. Zelon Busk or Milan Isk, you know, even apart from the fact that he might use drugs of some sort, should allegedly have been deported from the United States under that provision. That would have been a legitimate use of that of the deportation power there. You are immediately removable from the United States if you are no longer a student and you are on a student visa. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, I think so.
It's a great example, don't you think? I mean, it's hypothetical.
Hypothetical. So here's another, again, procedural question. So Ms. Ozturk's lawyer immediately petitioned the Massachusetts court to prevent her from being transferred, and the government's response was, oopsie, she's already in Louisiana.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com.
Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
So this is a, this is just a legal procedure question. Does the government just say that on the honor system? Or do they have to provide evidence that this woman was actually in Louisiana at the time they got the order?
It's fair to say
what we've seen from the government over the last 8 weeks has not filled me with the idea that we ought to just take their word for it when they
say and you are in accordance with a number of federal judges. I mean, the judges can ask the question in open court, right? They can ask the question, Mr. Assistant United States Attorney, where is the petitioner being held? And he can say something like, you judge, I don't know. He's in the custody of ICE. He can say, I believe he's in being transported somewhere. And this person's in Louisiana. I mean, he can say all sorts of things. And the government becomes suspicious it's not the government. If the judge becomes suspicious that she's being fed a line of bullshit, that's when she's going to ask for at least an affidavit. Or she could order, Mr. Assistant U.S. Attorney, you need to come back here 9 o'clock Monday morning with somebody with knowledge from ICE. And I'm going to put them on the stand. And they're going to have to raise their right hand and tell me what the fuck is going on here. Of course, the judge would not put fuck in the order, but that's the point. So it really, you know, there is a lot, as your question suggests, a lot of cat and mouse being played between the government and these judges, where the lawyers are kind of hemming and hawing and saying they don't know or providing information that may turn out to be inaccurate. And the judges are losing their patience about this. And, you know, one of the things that's going to happen is there's going to be a showdown one of these days. There almost was, I think, in one of these cases involving the firing of probationary employees before Judge Alsup out in the Northern District of California. There's going to be a showdown one of these days about somebody having to show up and testify on behalf of the government. I mean, there's another example, again, to move, I mean, not just in these immigration cases, another example was this whole bit about what the status was of Elon Musk in Doge and who was actually running Doge. And they were saying, well, there's this woman named so-and-so who's actually the administrator of Doge, but it turns out she's working half-time at another agency. She was on vacation. I mean, it's just crazy, crazy stuff. And I think part of it is the government's incompetence, but part of it is also that the government is just they're just doing whatever they can get away with. And there are just too many bad actors in the system. You know, and we see that again in the Alien Enemies Act case, where, you know, you just get the feeling that what happened was they got the oral order from the judge to say to stop the planes and turn them around. And they probably told the White House, we don't know exactly what happened, and probably somebody in the White House said, meh. And then now they're saying it's a state secret what we did.
Huge
secret. They're trying to
what they say on Signal isn't secret about the attack plans. Those things are not secret, George. Those things are perfectly normal and ordinary, and it's okay.
Well, listen, I trust Jeff Goldberg to protect the national secrets and the national security of the United States better than I do, say, Tulsi Gabbard and Pete Hegseth.
All right, so Marco Rubio says that when he finds examples of people like Ms. Ozturk who have caused trouble and, you know,
the word he used was ruckus, which is a very well-defined legal term.
I do not have access to the Secretary of State's calendar, but I suspect that he is not sitting at Google just looking up pro-Palestinian op-eds in student newspapers and trying to find people to deport. So somebody is providing a list of these people to the government. I don't know to who. I don't know if it's to DHS.
Yeah, no, I think what's happening is, I mean, I've read suggestions. I can't tell you where, but in the last few hours, I've read suggestions that what they're doing is they're like running Google searches on campus events and campus newspapers and maybe running it through AI. And they're just getting these lists of people and they're just going out there and saying, oh, let's find this person. Let's find that person.
You know, AI but, you know, never makes any mistakes.
Of this woman who wrote an op-ed in the Tufts newspaper. And then they say, oh, let's run her name against the INS database. Oh, okay. She's on a student visa. Let's go get her.
George, wouldn't it make more sense if we could set up something like a national tip line where people could call in with information about people they personally knew who had said or thought the wrong things to provide that information to? We could call it informants. They could inform on the people they know.
You could just have MAGAs just tweet the stuff on X. Elon could create an algorithm that would immediately boost those posts and send them to the government. How's that?
So this gets to the First Amendment stuff.
Right.
So what happens? I mean, what happens if there is somebody who's a visa holder, or somebody who has gotten a visa to visit the United States and is, you know, at Logan International Airport waiting to get through. And it turns out that they have been, say, critical of tariffs.
It's a very good question. You ask amazing questions, JB. And by parity of logic, the Secretary of State could take the position that tariffs are essential to the national interest of the United States. And it is a threat to American foreign policy to allow this, I don't know, Canadian or whoever, who's critical of the United States' position on tariffs into the United States. And, you know, the one thing, though, that I would note here, which is a technical aspect, is when you enter a country, that's when your rights are at their fewest. They can turn you away. When you get off the plane at mm-hmm. Logan, for example, and you go to the immigration, that you are not in the country until they say, thank you very much, here's your passport back. And they can stop you, they can hold you, they can do all sorts of things because you're basically at the border that they couldn't do once they admit you into the United States.
Okay.
So, you know, that's a little different. But the fact of the matter is, you could theoretically, I mean, you could theoretically, let's say how you have a Canadian student at Harvard. You know, it's funny because the new prime minister of Canada is a Harvard graduate. He was their backup goalie in hockey. But you have a Canadian student who writes for the Crimson, hypothetically, and attacks the administration for the things that it has been doing to his home country. In principle, there's nothing different there than what happened to the Tufts student. Because Marco could say, this is creating a ruckus. This isn't the purpose why we let this Canadian into the country. And he's a threat to the United States foreign policy because he's attacking our policy against Canada. So they could theoretically send some plainclothes men into Harvard Yard, put masks on them and arrest the guy and take the guy away.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
So here's a legal question from this. Are courts going to allow the contention that the foreign policy interests of the United States mean only what the sitting president says right now? Which is to say, the foreign policy interests of the United States used to say that Greenland and Canada were sovereigns, and that it would be wrong for the United States to invade them or coerce them or annex them. That was U.S. foreign policy up until January 20th of 2025. That is no longer U.S. policy.
Right.
So does it work to assert that U.S. foreign interests are simply the will of the current president? Do you see what I'm saying?
No, I absolutely see what you're saying. And it's an important question because it is not just something that we are seeing in these cases involving the foreign students.
Right. It's all the personalization of the presidency and the government, right?
It's not just personalization. It's the saying that this man, because he is president of the United States, he has absolute and unreviewable say about things that he determines relate to the foreign policy and the national interest of the United States.
L'état c'est moi, right? That's what it is. I mean, his
L'état
view
c'est moi,
is.
And state, it's exactly, we discussed right. this, I think, you and I, or I, Sarah and I think both of us actually, in the case of the Perkins Coie case right. and the possibility of applying it to Williams Connolly. It's just, he's just, the government's position. This fellow, Chad Mizell, who was the chief of staff of the Justice Department, went and argued before Judge Howell and basically said, president says that Williams and Connolly is a threat to the national security. Hey, that's it. You can't touch it because you're just a federal judge. And this is just authoritarian view of
Fully.
Article 2. Okay.
Right.
It is not an infringement of the president's Article II powers as commander-in-chief of the United States Armed Forces, or as executive, as the executive in charge of enforcing and the laws and the Constitution of the United States. For the court to say, for example, in the case of the Turkish student that was hauled off the streets of Somerville, this woman wasn't a threat to anybody. She just wrote an op-ed. This is common sense. How is that undermining the foreign policy of the United States? Lots of Americans are saying exactly the same thing. It is complete, unfathomable, frivolous nonsense. Okay? Now, again, you know, if you're providing aid to Hamas, that's different. Like, you know, actual thing. But to just express the view that Israel dropped a few too many bombs on Rafah or whatever she said, that's not a threat. That's just something, that's just a matter of normal discourse in a free fucking country.
My question is, so where does that get adjudicated? Like, you know, which court will eventually be tasked with saying that to the government? Is that like an immigration judge? Is that a appeals court? Does it go to the
Supreme? I think it will be the district judges, and to the extent, and I think they're going to lose before these district judges, and then it'll be to the Court of Appeals, and maybe one of these cases will go to the Supreme Court. Now, the government has these technical arguments that none of the, like, for example, in the Alien Enemies Act case, that all these claims, because they sound in habeas corpus, can't be heard. By the judges they've been brought before. There are some technical aspects there. I don't think those are going to carry the day, and I can't even explain them all. But at the end of the day, these people that we've been talking about have the right to due process. And they have the right at a minimum to get heard before an immigration judge and to have their case reviewed in a court of appeals after that immigration process runs its course in the agency. Or if that process is being circumvented by the government, which they're arguing, they have the right to sue in a United States District Court to compel the government to give them due process. And the interaction between those is technically complicated, but the bottom line is, assuming the government doesn't take these people out in the middle of the night like they did with the Venezuelans and dump them somewhere, which
what's
is all
to stop them from doing it.
Yeah. I mean, right now they're enjoying.
No, seriously, what is to stop them?
These court orders, but we don't, we can't trust this government to
right. Because if these people are in El Salvador, then as far as the government's concerned, the case is over because the facts are over.
They're in El Salvador. We don't control El Salvador.
Right.
They're no longer in our, so.
No, but I'm very serious about this.
You're absolutely right. Their position is, you can file a habeas corpus action, whatever, but we don't have the corpus. We know habeas, the corpus, they're gone. Sorry, it's over. And that's why they tried to do it in the middle of the night before anybody found out. Which again, to me, is consciousness of guilt and consciousness of the fact that these people know that they are doing something that is profoundly evil and wrong.
So with El Salvador and the counterterrorism prison in El Salvador, how does it work that the U.S. government can just rendition people down there? Like that, I guess it does work, but...
they did it. I don't know that it was legal. These people were entitled to some kind of process that's due. Even, if you're entitled to the process before right. you're deported. But
I want you to explain to people the idea of standing, right? And so the only person with standing to complain is you, is the person.
If
the person is in El Salvador, then so far as the U.S. government is right. concerned, that person can no longer challenge because they're not there anymore. And it doesn't matter if they got gone illegally.
Well, but
they no longer have standing to challenge it, right?
Look, they do have standing to challenge to bring a suit because they were harmed by the government's action. The government's position may be, we are no longer in a position to redress what happened.
Right.
And therefore, we can't cause these people to be returned to the United States. They're not even on the planes that we contracted to send down there.
Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding, ding. Right. Maybe they have some claims for damages. I don't know. I don't know whether that's possible. I'd have to do research on that. I don't see it really as a standing issue. It's just that they have a right to a hearing before they're deported. And everybody has a right to a hearing before they're deported. These people were deported. Not only were they deported, they were incarcerated. They were right. basically sent to indefinite terms of incarceration in a absolutely horrible place. These prisons in El Salvador are notoriously bad. Okay? And the other point I want to make is that, let me think. The government's position is that somehow the Alien Enemies Act is an exception to the proposition that ordinarily when you ship some foreigner out of the country, you get a hearing. It is right. not. The opinions of the D.C. Circuit judges who joined the denial of the stay request made by the government against the order of Judge Boasberg's order, they made clear, they even cited cases where a Nazi during World War II got a hearing on whether or not that person was subject to the Alien Enemies Act. And it got all the way to the Supreme Court.
And that was a case where the Alien Enemies Act actually applied because there were there were actually alien enemies because there was an actual
during a war
with these guys, the German guys, right? Remember that?
Yeah.
Right? Hogan's Heroes, there was a war. You know, D-Day, all that shit, right? You know, when you watch TV, you see these wars. You know, there was an actual war here.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to chumbacasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
So, George, what would you say? What would you say to somebody? Let's pretend we had a nice MAGA adjacent person here whose position was, well, maybe this is a little alarming, but, you know, it's only to people who are immigrants. I'm an American citizen. Nobody could ever do anything like this to me.
Yeah, no, I mean, I had this discussion with a family member this morning. It's like, oh, well, fine. Why don't you invite these Venezuelan terrorists to your apartment and have them hang out? Okay. Somebody said that to me. I won't say who it was. And I was like, how do you know who these people are and whether they did anything wrong? There's evidence that some of these people, there's evidence that a lot of these people have no criminal record and that they were basically picked up because they had tattoos and were Venezuelan. Okay, maybe they turned out, we'll see someday, that they were actually members of Trendar or whatever the name
was. Trendagua. I'm sure many of them were.
Many of them were. The problem is, I'm going to bet, or there's a significant chance, that not all of them were, or that many were not. But we don't know that.
Remember a few weeks ago when Elon Musk said that the government spent $50 million on condoms to Gaza, and he died on that hill, and then 48 hours later.
Elon Dusk.
Right. He was like, sometimes I'll say things that aren't true. Right. People make oopsies.
Like this guy, you think this guy Homan is capable of making an oopsie? He looks like Albert Einstein, doesn't he?
Yeah, no, super. I mean, that guy's IQ is just off the charts.
Yeah, off the charts. Is it possible to have a negative IQ?
Yeah. I'd love to watch him and the old ball coach from Alabama play chess together. I bet that'd be really something.
No, you know, that would be great. We put those two and Alina Haba on a game show. I think that would be just really entertaining.
But, this is, if it can happen to any of these people, it can happen to any of us.
That's
can't it?
The point. And that is exactly the point. It's like, we have due process for a reason. We have the Sixth Amendment. The right to a jury trial, the right to the Fifth Amendment right to due process in criminal proceedings, because you might be the one in the dock someday. You might be the one who might not be able to, you may not be the one who might not be able to prove their citizenship someday. Where's your birth certificate? Do you have it on you? Is it in your jacket pocket there?
Where are your papers? Where are your papers?
Where are your papers? Right. What ain't your papers? Your papers, sir. Your papers. And that's where we are. It's like we have these processes. They don't always work perfectly. They may be slower than we like. In the immigration realm, they're slower than we like because we basically both as a nation and both parties have refused to fund the processes to the extent they should. These systems could work better because they need more money.
Yeah.
And instead of actually doing what it would take, and I think there was actually some in the immigration bill that Donald Trump saw fit to tank because he thought it would take away an election issue last year, there was going to be more effort to provide process. I could be wrong there, but I think there was. We should be setting the standard for giving process. We can make it more efficient. We can spend more money on it. But we can't be relying on idiots like Homan and just making shit up, so to speak. That's a legal term.
Well said. George Conway, thanks for being here, buddy, and explaining it to me. Sarah will be back next week, and maybe there won't be any new outrages or cracks in the constitutional order. And you guys can just sit around and say,
I would not take that bet. I would not.
Hey, it was all overblown. Everything worked out just fine. We got all upset, and it was turned out it was much ado over nothing.
Yep.
All right. See you, buddy. Good luck, America.
Well, George Conway, he's a man with a plan. Got to sit down with Sarah Longwell, take a stand, explain all the legal problems they're piling high. With Donald Trump, oh my, oh my, oh my. He said, Sarah, let me break it down for you. There's obstruction of justice, corruption to the legal tangles and troubles that are growing fast. It's a storm that's gonna last and last. Close.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.